To go to 2 Peter chapter number 2, starting with verse number 3. I once again would like to echo, it is good to see Brother Albert here with us today. Amen. He's I always like his spirit when Sister Cooper was in the hospital. And we were standing there talking. He says, well, if God takes her, he can just take me too. Amen, amen. We love you, Brother Albert. It's good to have you in church with us. 2 Peter chapter number 2, starting at verse number 13. Starting at verse number 13. I apologize. Computer is having some technical difficulties. I don't know what happened to it. Something between Wednesday and Sunday, because it was working just fine, and now it's not allowing us. Well, we got a little bit of it. Amen. We got a little bit of it. So God's answering prayers a little bit at a time. 2 Peter chapter number 3, starting at verse number 13, says, nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found in him in peace. Notice it says, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved Paul also, according to wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, that they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. I want to preach just for a little while. If you received the text this morning, you know what I'm going to be preaching. I'm going to preach just for a little while on the simple topic of my yoke is easy. My yoke is easy. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we love you. And we ask you, God, to reach down and we ask you to enlighten in our minds and our spirits something that'll challenge us, that'll pull us, that'll stretch us, but more than that, that'll save us. God, because that's the ultimate goal. We've got to make heaven our home. There's a lot of distractions in this world, a lot of frustrations, a lot of fears, a lot of doubts, a lot of things pushed into our minds, God. But there's one ultimate thing that we can never lose sight of, and that's that you're coming back. Or we're going to you, one of those two things, God. And we've got to be ready to make heaven our home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. A friend of mine has some mules, and in the process of our children growing up together, they all rode horses and they rode mules, and they used to climb on the little, he had a big tire that he would had a seat made in the middle of that big circle tire, and we would hitch those mules together, and he'd hit those straps, and the yokes around those mules would hook those mules' necks together, and they would pull in unison, and they would head out across the property, and he would ride for hours just taking those mules round and round. And in the process of doing that, I also used to go to the horse pulls, as even as they have them here in Winnemac, at the Power from the Past, as they would take those big mules, and you could set the chain link on the back of those mules, so one had a little bit more torque than the other one, and if you could balance that pair of mules together as they would pull, and you could take those horses, and simply by adjusting where that yoke would pull, and the adjustment of that chain, you could change the hitching point of those two horses. And what that by just a simple adjustment, you could cause that pair to pull in unison in perfect timing and working together. There's something about a yoke. A yoke is something that takes a, and allows the power of something to be harnessed and allows that harness to take whatever that is being pulled, and it takes you to harness that what they call horsepower, if you will. I have watched as some of those men inadvertently have gotten their fingers caught in between that link. And that horse, when it's given the cue to go, there's so much force, it literally will just pinch a finger completely off, just instantly, just boom, just gone. But thinking about what a yoke really is, a yoke is something that is caused to link something together. It's a yoke. It's a harness. It's something that allows us to be put together. And there's a scripture in the Bible that says, "Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It's been an I factor that I've watched in our society. We have a society that is stressed to the max. It seems like everybody's life is running at a breakneck speed, and work is challenging. I've watched as Sister Rollins comes in some Sundays and working all night and getting or going up really early in the morning and then coming in and sitting in church trying to stay focused. And it seems like the stress level can be high as managers. And Brother Furlano has fought some of the same things. And it seems like the work level and the workload, and they're pulling you all over the county, and you're working an extreme amount of hours, and the frustrations and the stuff that goes along with it. It seems like our society is in a heavy load. There's a lot of pressure in today's society. I've never seen a generation of trying to raise children. Many of you sitting here today are raising your second batch of children, trying to just get those children saved, trying to get them to graduate and get a success in life and give them a little bit of leg up in life just to see if they can make things and be a productive part of society. And I don't know, but some of you are trying to do that. Probably the pressure and the stress and the stuff that goes along with it. It's a heavy load in today's society. Seems like everybody is on edge. It seems like even politically you're watching dramatic things happen. And it seems like a man just trying to go through the process of being a Supreme Court judge. And it seems like accusations come left and right. You don't know which one's right, which one's wrong, who to believe, who not to believe. And it just seems like the pressure mounts and pressure mounts and pressure mounts. But there comes a point when pressure becomes to a breaking point in a life. There comes a point when you take those animals and you yoke them together, that if there's one weak link in the chain, I watched as one of the teams, as that link broke, and one of them were not linked together properly, and now it began to swing it around, and now all of a sudden the limbs and the legs of that horse gets caught up in the chains, and now all of a sudden both horses collapse to the ground, and it takes hours to get them all undone and unlinked, and the horses now are at a point where they're near death because they're not made to be able to handle that kind of stress of being tied up into a chained up mess. And sometimes our lives feel just like that. In the book of Peter, he begins to write and tell us that there's some wrestling that goes on in society. There's some wrestling for the minds. There's wrestling into the world of those that don't have the truth. They don't understand the truth. And there's a constant wrestling with right and wrong in our today's society. I never dreamed I would see a world like we live in today, where our morals are turned upside down, where moms and dads would have to try to explain things to their children 5, 4, and 5, and 6 years old, that never should even be entered into the mind of a little child. social media and the push to put some of the garbage that comes in through some of the stuff that's fed into the minds of our children. I never dreamed I would have to see some of the things that you as parents have to fight in raising your children. I just may be a little old-fashioned, but I still believe we need moral rights and wrongs in our society. I still believe there's doing good and loving your neighbor. And thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. They should have. You shouldn't covet your neighbor's wife. In today's society, it seems like all of those are norms today. It seems like in today's society, there's really no moral boundaries of right and wrong. If I want and I just go get it. I just take and partake of it. And nobody can question whether it's right or wrong. I make my own decisions. I make my own world. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. We better be careful in a society that decides I want what I want and I'll take control of it and I'll decide my consequences. But the danger is you very well may decide the consequences to your sin, because the Bible says those wages to sin and the wages to those sin is death. That pressure mounts and it seems it grows and it gets bigger and it gets stronger. And my fear for our society today is at what point as a society do we break under the pressure? The things that are going on in our society. There comes a point we've got to bring ourselves back to an old-fashioned walk with God. A reverence for a God that loved us before we loved Him. A reverence for a God that was there when the founding fathers founded our country. A reverence for a God that still sees babies sleeping at night, still sees marriages, and still loves families. A reverence for a God that still recognizes without Him, everything falls apart. Everything becomes chaos. We got to realize the real order to our society and everything that our society is based on, including our Constitution. It was not put together just because there was a bunch of smart men that knew what to put on paper. But there was one nation under God, and that under God is what brought it all into perspective. That's what kept this nation vertical for all these years. That's what kept us the most prosperous nation in the world. That's what kept us the most giving nation in the world. That's what keeps us running in to places that we really can't change their culture, can't change their mentality, but we rush in to feed men, women, and children. We rush in when tsunamis wipe out. Even just this week I've seen where some 800 people were destroyed from a tsunami. And our people rush to planes. People rush to pull money out of their pocket to try to make donations. But you know what? There are some things that money can't fix. All the money in the world, as you've heard it say, can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. There are some things once it's broken, you can't fix. Only God can fix. There are some things that you can't go back and redo life. You can't go back and redo some things. And I'm preaching societally yet today a little bit. I recognize that. But we live in this society. We're raising families in this society. We're working in this society. Pretty soon we're going to be go cast a ballot in this society. But I think there still ought to be some apostolics, some Pentecostals that stand up and say, you know what? I still reverence a God. He's still what makes us great. That God still loves America. He still loves your children. He still loves your neighbor. He still loves the rest of the world. And just because we serve God doesn't make us superior over everybody else. It makes us the servant of all. seems like in today's world there's a trend to say we can't fix the whole world's problems. Just pull in and just hunker down and spend the money on our lost and our needy. And I believe we should spend money on the ones in America. As we were talking before church, I said, I thank God there is a safety net. I thank God there is a place for people who can no longer care for themselves. That there is facilities that we can bring them in and they get food and they get shelter. And we as a people pay taxes to make sure that they're taken care of. And we don't leave people out on the street dying and not able to care for themselves and not able to bathe. But they've got places for people like that that we can be a part. And I thank God I live in a country that doesn't leave people out in the street. That we reach down and we help and we give them a leg up. And we should. And even more so as a society. How much more so should we as the church of the living God reach down and pick somebody out of the miry clay and say, you know what? If God fixed my life, if God saved my family, if God took care of my addiction, He can heal yours too. When we as a church stop preaching hope, this society loses all sense of hope. Whether we want to admit it or not, church is the one last standing thing that says there's morals, there's a God, there's right and wrong. You've heard me say it before, and I'll say it again. The fact is, without God, a real free society never works. Without God, without a moral basis based on God, true freedom will never work. Because what stops you from coming in and taking what's mine under absolute freedom and saying it's yours? Brother Filano, you could walk into my house and say, I like that air compressor. I think I'm going to take it over. It'd be good on my project I got going before I leave. What would stop you from doing that in absolute freedom? No, what stops our country from living that kind of world is we still have a basis of right and moral right and wrong. And that comes from an almighty God, not from a government, not from laws. And I believe we should follow the laws because those laws are based on a constitution that was based on a biblical principle. And as hard as we want to try to get away from it, that's what still holds the fabric of our society together. That's still what holds marriages together. That's still what holds families together is a God-fearing. When a man could walk out on his wife, there's something inside his spirit that says, I still love you enough. We may have disagreements. We may have frustrations, but there's a moral fiber inside of me is I've got enough reverence for God to humble myself and still love you when it don't even make sense because He loved me. What is it in today's society that causes people to turn and do things that most of us would cringe at the very thought of? You've heard me say it a lot here lately. You're not going to get to heaven on accident. And I'm going to keep pounding it because I believe in this very seriously. You will only get to heaven if you set your mind and your heart and your purpose and your goals and every single thing in your life revolves around God. You say, that's a lot of commitment, Pastor. Let me ask you, how much commitment is too much for missing heaven and going to hell? I know that's harsh, but think about it. What is too much commitment when it comes to saving my family, saving my soul, saving my life? Is there really too much commitment? The fact is, commitment is just a facade because really that commitment is something that we do not out of obligation but out of pure joy when we realize what God did for us, that He would robe Himself in flesh, come and die for my sin. And He who knew no sin would become sin so that I could have this life. Bible says to come unto me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let me ask us here. We have a picture sometimes of what a weight is. If I don't fall off, knock me in the head. Make sure it's attached. But we have a picture of what a yoke really is. And we as a society and as a life, we go through life. And we start to pile up. And we start out with this weight of sin on us. But it doesn't stop there. Pretty soon, there are other things that gets piled on. Will you help me, brother? Just put a little weight on there. Now put a little weight on the backside. And as we go through life, we gain more and more. You going to help me? And we get more and we get more. And you know what? For a while, I could probably handle Brother Payne. I could probably handle that. Brother Rollins, will you help me? Let's not bend it. But as we go through life a little further, you know what? It really starts to pile on. And there comes a point when we can't carry that load anymore. And we finally start to break down physically, mentally, spiritually. And as long as we keep trying to carry this, eventually the devil gets us down to one knee. And you know what? Our lives are going absolutely nowhere. Thank you, brethren. And once he gets us to the point where we can't get up again, think about this. We don't advance in our jobs. Our families start to fall apart. Our children start to resent us. Come on, this is not just some of, this is all of us. When the devil gets us to that place. But think about, there's an entire world out there. They're just to a point where they just can't go anymore. You know the difference between what the devil does and what God does is God says to cast your cares upon me. To cast something, you got to be tired of something. I'll give you an illustration of this. Maybe a bad one, but it's an illustration. What we do is we keep this sin around. We hold on to it. And we try to just keep it close to us. But the Bible says to cast your cares upon me. Now, it might have got a little messy if I would have tried to did it with both those guys on top of me here with this thing. But there comes a point where you got to physically recognize, I can't carry this no more. Here's the difference between God and the devil. The devil is a thief. Hear me now. The devil is a thief. Came to steal, kill, destroy. He's the father of lies. Truth is not in him. It's all biblical. I told the discipleship class, the devil didn't start telling truths in 2018. He didn't have a change of heart. If he told lies in the beginning, he's still telling lies today. But here's the difference. The devil doesn't ask when he takes stuff from you. He just comes in and says, I'll take that. Man, he probably don't take this, does he? He just snatches it. He just takes it. But God's not like that. God stands there and he will leave you with that weight until you finally decide to physically cast it into the blood and the mercy of Jesus Christ. He waits until you finally are ready to give it to him. Did he not say, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Think about this. We have a problem. We sit back and we wait on God to come take our problems from us. But the Bible didn't say, I will just come and take your problems from you. He said, you've got to give them to me. You've got to cast that stuff into me. You've got to move that stuff. When you recognize that you're down on your knees, you got to cast that weight to me, and you got to get up, and you got to put one foot in front of the other, and you got to get to the presence of God, and you got to run into Him. You know what? God is not a thief. He won't come in and take your problems from you. You got to give them to Him. God won't come and chase you down and find you and just snatch you up against your will and say, all right, you're going to church this Sunday. Now you sit there and you be quiet. You listen to that preacher. God doesn't operate that way. God waits until we come, because God's a perfect gentleman. The devil's not like that. The devil will just put it on us. He'll snatch it from us. He'll take your children. He'll take your home. He'll take your family. He'll take your health. He snatches it right out from under you. He doesn't ask nobody. He doesn't ask permission. He doesn't knock on the door and say, hey, can I destroy you today? No, go away. No, he just shows up. That's what the devil does, because the devil could care less whether you wake up tomorrow or whether you sit here today, as long as he controls your mind, as long as he can keep you boxed in. But there comes a point under that pressure. He knows if he applies enough pressure, you will break. But there comes a point that you've got to recognize, I have to physically do something. If I'm going to make it to heaven, there's some effort on my part that I have to do. Let me ask you, what are you intentionally doing to get to heaven? What are you intentionally doing? We can't just sit and come to church and pray we make it to heaven, but we have to get up every morning with purpose, with intention, with a prayer life of intention, with a fasting life of intention. But good intentions will only get you so far. An intention without an action was just a thought. You can think about it all you want to, but there's something about getting up and saying, you know what? I'm going to go to the house of the Lord today. I'm going to give Him my best. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to give my family for the cause of Christ. I'm going to give over my will. I'm going to serve God. You know what? When I walk into work this week, I'm going to go in there knowing that this job is just a temporary place, because this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond on the blue. And you know what? They think they're just giving me a raise. I know why I got the raise, because I gave an extra $20 last week that I didn't have, and God blessed me and I had it in my pocket and I gave it, and they thought it was just a bonus. But what it really is a blessing in delay, that God saw my spirit and my giving, and God gave it back to me multiplied times. The world can't understand that. But it comes with intention. If the devil has caused your finances and your mind to be robbed, you got to feed it back to him, double portion, and just as hot as he was feeding it to you, because he will keep taking advantage until we resist. The Bible says resist the devil, does it not? And he will flee. The devil's a bully. I'm exposing him a lot today, ain't I? That's good. We need to really know what he really is. He's a bully. He takes advantage of people that don't have the strength to fight back. He puts the pressure on, puts the pressure on, puts the pressure on, puts the pressure on. He says, now I got them. They can't fight back. It's exactly what the devil does. That's what he's doing to this world. But I've got news for you. There is something about a God that can reach down and take a world that has no pressure, has absolute pressure, no ability to stand up, no ability to get up. And you know what? The presence of God can walk in a hospital room when you couldn't even control your own health, and a machine was breathing for you, and God walks in, and you're sitting here on a Sunday afternoon for the second or third time that you shouldn't even be here, because God says, I won't leave you, and I won't forsake you. If I hear my name mentioned, I'm going to rush in and I'm going to help you in the time of trouble. Because that's the kind of God. He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The world don't understand that. The world looks at the church and says, well, I got soccer for the kids on Sunday. I couldn't go to church on Sunday. That's a lot to do. They take up collection. We don't have the money in our pocket. We've got this going. That's a lot of hoopla, a lot of bondage, and that's a bunch of weights down there. As they dig in their piggy bank, try to find enough money for the school kids' lunch, still be able to have a beer after work. Fact is, there comes a point that they don't realize that the devil is going to completely destroy everything that they're trying to do. But God said, my burden is light. I've told this story before, and I'll be careful in telling it, but I watched a friend of mine. Our boys were the same age. My little boy is still healthy and living today, but a little over 2 years old, his little boy was stricken with cancer. I watched a husband and wife go through the agony of taking the kid back and forth to Riley's hospital, living there for weeks at a time. So that little baby was going through all the drama of cancer, as brutal as it can be in all of its forms. I watched that family, as awful as the pressure, as high as it was, and I'd say most of us have never felt that kind of pressure. To bury a little 3-year-old baby. And I watched as they didn't blame God. They still had a smile on their face. Still serving God today. Fact is, he said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light, because the fact is, as heavy as it may be, it works in reverse with God. Can I get you, brethren, to help me one more time? Do we still carry a load? You bet we do. But the difference between living for the devil versus living for God is the pressure's in reverse. Now all of a sudden, what should be heavy, now all of a sudden, I don't feel like I'm carrying anything. It's there. I know it's there, but it's not pushing on me. It's not pressurizing my life anymore. I recognize that I still have to go through life. I still have disobedient kids. I still have frustrating moments. I still have job transitions. I still have roofs that leak and cars that break down. But the difference is, I'm not carrying it by myself, because God has surrounded me. And that pressure that once was there now is being lifted up. There's angelic things that come into my beings and my presence, and that are surrounding me by so great a cloud of witnesses, that you know what? Faith now allows me to walk where I used to be, would be broken down under this pressure. Now all of a sudden, I can look up towards heaven. I can dance in the middle of my misery. I can walk with God in the middle when I should be falling down. But now I find strength in the Lord. I find joy when I shouldn't have joy. I got a smile on my face when I should be crying. But God, he said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Thank you. You see, when you cast your cares upon him, you're casting more than just the garbage that weighs you down. When you invest into God, He invests into you. When you give your life to God, you take on Christ. That same one that walked in this earth, carrying the weight of, think about this. We think we have a lot of weight. He was carrying the weight of the whole sin of the whole, hear me now, the whole world. Whatever your problems are, and your problems are, and your problems are, and your problems are, and your problems are, multiplied by however many billions of people that are in this world. That's what he went to the cross with. He walked to Mount Calvary, shed his blood, so that we could walk without the weight of sin that does so easily beset us. Let's all stand. I'm coming to a close here today. Peter said, better be careful, because even your own steadfastness could be shaken. He said, therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also be led away with the error of the wicked and fall from your own steadfastness. You know what Peter was trying to tell the church? Don't lose sight. Don't lose focus. You get frustrated with the world, it'll take your eyes off Jesus. It'll take your eyes off the one thing that really matters. That's you making it to heaven. Pastor, come to tell us today, it may feel like your world is caving in. You may feel like you've got a bundle you're holding before God, saying, God, I'm about to buckle under the pressure. I'm just doing all I can do just to get back to your presence. We feel like we're knocking on the door saying, it's me again, God. The difference is God standing there saying, I know it's you. I knew where you were at. I've been here waiting. I know what the pressures are. I've already weighed them out. I know how much it's costing you. Know all the frustrations that are going on in your world, but my grace is sufficient. You don't get shortchanged. I'm here for you when you need me. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. What is it that causes us to think that God would never accept us? What is it that causes us to think that if he would take the pile of mess that we brought him when we first came to him, that he would never accept my frustrations now? We've got to understand that God is ready and willing. If we ever lose the ability to get back to the presence of God, we've lost it all. I wonder how many of you here today would find a place to pray and say, God, I want to put on the cause of Christ. I want to be yoked up with your cause, God, because I'm carrying so much weight on my own. I'm carrying so much frustration on my own. I'm carrying so much stuff on my own, God, that I need to leave some things in your presence that I can't really do on my own anymore. I need your presence, God, to challenge my thinking. I need to cast some cares upon you, God. I'm weighted down. I'm carrying some things, God, that I shouldn't be carrying anymore. I need you, God, to take my life and allow me one more time to be called your son or your daughter. I wonder here today how many of you would make a fresh commitment to God to say, God, I just want to hear your voice. I just want to know you're there. I just want to walk and feel the joy of the Lord in my soul one more time. I just want to feel the presence of God and the peace that passes all understanding. I want to know, God, that you haven't left me. I want to know God. And God, I'm asking you to walk into that heart. I'm asking you to walk into that mind right now with authority, God. When they open that crevice of opportunity right now, God, I ask you to rush in with every ounce of grace, every ounce of mercy that you've ever had, God. I'm asking you to bring a brilliant display of what love really is, God. When we've blown it, God, and we don't feel like we have anything to offer, God, you said that's exactly what I was wanting, because there was nothing in you that I could really use anyway, but I can make you a new creature in Christ. I can make you a new creature in me. I can take your life and mold it and make it the way I really intended it to be. I can take your life and change it, and you can be called a vessel of honor, because you can be made in my image. And what this world didn't see, when they may not have recognized me, they can see me through you. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, oh God, oh God, let your anointing rest upon this people, God. Pray a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost would walk through this house. Pray a fresh anointing would walk through this place right now, God. It doesn't matter what your frustrations are. In the name of Jesus. There is no problem too big that you can't cast it at the feet of Jesus. There's no fear too big that you can't cast into the presence of God. There's no doubt that's too big that you couldn't throw at the feet of Jesus. There is nothing that God would stand back and say, I can't do nothing with that. But God looks into your world and he says, I can fix that. That's no big deal. We can take care of this. We can solve that. It ain't going to be easy, but you're going to have to be willing to walk. You're going to have to be willing to come to me. You can't stay out there on the outside and hope things change, but you've got to be intentional about your life, about your walk. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, God's doing some good things in this house right now. There's some rededications of some lives that's going on, some minds that are getting made up. There is something about we don't have very long to work. We don't have much time to pull on the souls that we're going to affect. We don't have much time to see your family saved. We've got to walk intentionally. We've got to work with purpose and passion. We don't have room for error. We don't have time for the detoured route. But we've got to go straight to the cross. We've got to go straight to the core. We've got to go straight to the thing that we need the most. And that's the presence and the grace and the mercy of the Almighty God. God, because he's the only one that can change your situation, your families and your homes, your challenges will only be fixed in the presence of the Almighty God. If it's appropriate, I want you to find somebody to link up with right now. strength in numbers. And when we become one body, I wonder if you can hold the hand of someone near you if it's appropriate. I want you to pray for your brother and your sister. You know what you're doing? You're lifting some of those weights off of them when you do that. You know what? You're coming alongside. You're being the hands of Christ. And you're beginning to lift those weights off of someone else right now. When they're weighted down, now you start to raise some of that stuff off of them. In the name of Jesus right now, God, I pray that you'll take away some of the pressure. Take away the fear. Take away the doubt. Take away the wondering, God, and the things. Some of them are in life transitions. Some of them are in job transitions. Some of them are in family situations. Some of them are in things that they're fighting in their spiritual walk with you, God. I pray right now you'll lift them up. I pray you'll strengthen them. I pray you'll give them confidence. I pray you'll give them peace. I pray you'll give them joy. I pray you'll give them long suffering and hope. The things, God, that seem to be missing from this world, God. I pray you'll baptize them with a fresh anointing right now, God. Give them a new zeal, a new work, a new cause, a new passion, God, right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Bring strength, oh God. Unify them as families, brothers and sisters, for we are the body of Christ. Because your yoke is easy, your burdens are light. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're not where you want to be with God right now. If God were to come back today, and I know you've heard preachers say this, my sermon's over. If you're not ready to meet God today,